Welcome back to Do You Even Care? The show that asks us whether we care about anime. The answer is no. Spoilers. We don't care. This is the I don't care card.
But this is the I do care card. For any of us who do care, we're going to hold this up.
Okay. It's getting to that point in the season where we probably care at least a little about everything that's left on the list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're also getting to that point in the season where even if we don't care, it's got like two episodes left. I can care enough for that.
So something of benefit to it, yeah.
Yep.
But what is the first thing we either care or don't care about this week?
The first question mark vis-a-vis caring is Lupin the Third, Part 5, Episode 11, in which Lupin's gang flashback to a time they went after a South American drug lord's collection of haunted sports cars. Lupin perves on Fujiko even harder than usual, and everyone learns a valuable lesson on the relative prioritization of bros vis-a-vis hoes.
So, this was a Lupin the Third Red Jacket episode.
Mm-hmm.
And the concept here, as we saw with Season 3's little throwback, was, hey, we want to make an episode of Lupin the Third that harkens back to this era, this flavor of Lupin. And by and large, it mostly succeeds. We get a lot of Lupin trying to peek on Fujiko. We get Fujiko being a little more girly and a little more out of her element than usual, which is not in apropos of the Lupin Red Jacket. Although even here, it seemed like, wow, this is not the Fujiko that I think we've kind of fallen in love with. The Fujiko we got that evolved after like that arc of Lupin back when they didn't want her to be a femme fatale. But yeah, so this is very, and even down to even kind of the characterizations of Goemon and Jigen are just slightly changed to be a little bit more acidic towards Fujiko, but very bro-like with Lupin.
I felt like everybody past a certain point started bickering a lot, and I didn't.
Yeah. Yeah.
I felt like I wasn't quite following the thread that got us there. Like, everybody's fine until it's time for everybody to argue. Over nothing.
Yeah, and that's... So when it comes to Red Jacket Lupin, it had many different directors, many different directions that it went, and one of the things that it did every once in a while was it went supernatural. It didn't do that very often. It wasn't a regular occurrence, so when you did get an episode, it was like, yes, he's cursed by an item, and if he doesn't put it back, he will die. That was an episode of Lupin, I think it was like... Episode 6 or something, where he takes...
Right, the banana phone.
Yeah, the one where... Yes, banana phone.
Oh, yeah.
For all of those who are going to get that reference, good on you. Mm. But here we see, yeah, they lean into the supernatural angle.
Yeah, I was surprised by that. I was expecting, was it or wasn't?
Yeah.
No, it straight up was a ghost.
Yep. Yeah. And I wasn't quite expecting that because... I didn't think that, okay, we're going to go back to Red Jacket Lupin. Are we going to, like, what kind of story are we going to get? Oh, well, you know what? This kind of makes sense. It doesn't feel like modern Lupin would go out of its way to use a lot of the supernatural stuff, but if we're going to do a legitimate, intentional throwback to the era of the 70s, yeah, sure, yeah, let's do supernatural. Unfortunately for me, the supernatural Lupin stuff is, like, kind of my least favorite Lupin, because the Lupin I like is usually rooted more in, okay, what can we do with our slightly cartoonier reality? So, to that extent, I was not a huge fan of this episode. It had moments, like the stuff with Fujiko and Lupin got funny and cute, and we got some great animation and great shots and some cool action.
And, I mean, the animation was fine. I felt like it was actually a step down, production values-wise. Not that it was bad, but it's been so strong up until this point. I thought it was, like, some of the racing sequences, it was a little noticeable, like, feels like they kind of skimped on this one just a little.
Yeah, maybe a little bit. Like, here's the thing. I am not, I'm not grooving on this episode in general.
Yeah.
Like, while I watched it, I was still entertained, but afterwards I was like, man, for the Red Jacket episode that we're getting, I was hoping for something maybe a little funnier.
Yeah.
Or something a little bit more stylish. And ultimately, I don't think that the people writing for that Lupin, like writing for this Lupin, like this generation of Lupin, is very well suited to Red Jacket's generation, because that was kind of rooted in a different era.
I did like that this took place on the, I guess, right on the border in a disputed area between Borazil and the thing where you're attracted to hairy dudes? You're this, Barage.
Mm.
Wow. Very, did you write that one down or no?
No, that was just now off the dome.
Oh, God damn you. Yeah. I don't know. I guess they were just trying to, like, skirt any, like, controversy. So they're like, yeah, let's just make up a couple of fake war-torn countries and just not have to deal with the fallout of that. But, yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, this... I was still I was still entertained, but yeah, this did not. This as the guy who grew up with Red Jacket Lupin, I'm like, yeah, okay, I see what you're doing here, but at the end of the day, this is not the Lupin that. This is not how Lupin has evolved. So doing this throwback has a lot of.
Yeah, I know you, Kieran, were feeling a little cool on Lupin as of last week. Did this one do anything for you?
I was falling asleep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was the. I don't know if it was the Xanax or any other thing, but I was not feeling this at all. I wasn't.
And I think so. Some people called out the fact that I was like, yeah, I'm not sure episodic is doing Lupin any favors nowadays. And some people were like, well, Lupin used to always be episodic. I'm like, you're not wrong. Lupin started out episodic by nature. That was his whole deal. But to that extent. That was limitations of its time and something you kind of took for granted. But as we've seen, these stories have evolved. These characters have evolved. Our concept, our breadth for storytelling has evolved. So trying to do these single encapsulated episodes is difficult unless you do something kind of daring or crazy with it.
Yeah, I feel like the last one-off that we got, because it was so cartoonish and so ridiculous.
I loved that.
Oh, yeah.
That was great. I feel like this one... hit an uncanny valley where it wasn't, yeah, it just wasn't anything. It wasn't quite goofy enough to have me laughing out loud and going with the goofiness.
Yeah, I agree. What it did capture was a lot of the atmosphere and aesthetic of Lupin the Third Part Two. Because did you notice the music in this one was vastly different from the music in the rest of the show?
You know what? I didn't at the time, but now that you mention it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go back and pay attention. It sounds way more like the 70s stuff that they used. Hmm. And I was digging on that. And they do it very well, especially in the that scene where they're talking about like the underground and how to get out. And they have the submarine. The music that's playing in the background is just this like it's like a saxophone just playing very lightly. And I love it. And again, a lot of good aesthetically going on here. Like everything looks good. Well, the animation's kind of a step down, but I don't know. I don't want to knife this because the next arc, I saw the preview for the next arc. It's a Goemon arc. Everything okay over there? The next arc is a Goemon arc. Mm-hmm. And Goemon is a fascinating character to follow because he's got a lot more character underneath the surface that he never gets to show unless he's in the spotlight. So I'm kind of curious what we're going to get with this next arc, especially because did you see the preview?
I did. I had gone in one ear and out the other until you just reminded me, like, oh, yeah, it was all Goemon all the time.
Yeah, it's a French anime convention is going on, and Goemon ends up infiltrating it to find somebody. I don't know. I love this concept. It's a Goemon plot. So while I was huge on the last arc, this episode was kind of meh for me, but I'm still going to have to give it the eggplant because I really want to see what this next arc is going to be like. I mean, if it gives a bad start, then that this might change to this.
Yeah.
But for right now, I'm really curious about this next arc.
Yeah, I don't even know. Knowing that I'm almost certain to be the deciding vote here, it's tough. Because, yeah, on the one hand, I am curious. On the other hand... I feel like I've gotten what I wanted. I got in. I got some Lupin. I think I'm ready to get out. It's not like a harsh value judgment. This is still plenty fine. It's just, I'm good. I'm full. Thank you. It was lovely.
I kind of have to parrot that. Like, I was trying to think of how to properly phrase this. Because, like, this show is good. It's not bad. Yeah. I don't think it's a bad show.
Yeah, we've
it's
seen
very
bad anime.
Good. Yeah, like, this is far from a terrible show. I just don't think, my appetite for what this is strong enough or what it was in the past. I think I've gotten this elsewhere or I'm just not like feeling that right now because we also have a lot of other stuff that I'm really enjoying and this just seems like something that I do enjoy and would probably go back and watch some other time. But yeah. I think it's fine. I'd be curious to see where it goes. But week to week, I'm not digging it.
Yeah. And I'm over here as the guy who really wants to continue watching this show. But that's because this is giving me some Lupin I haven't gotten in a long time. But I can't blame either of you. Like, I get it. Especially, like, if you were already getting full by the end of that last arc, mm-hmm. then, yeah, probably for the best. Yeah. I'm just going to continue watching it, though.
I hate that you guys aren't going to see Goemon, or whatever his name is, fight through crowds to get the pop exclusive.
Yeah, the exclusive Funko Pop for the con. I know, it'd be fun to see him just mow down people left and right.
Oh, no, speaking of that, though, I hope that we do get the blood spray of Goemon Ishikawa. It's a movie all about Goemon, and it's amazing. It's spectacular, and we still haven't gotten a release of it in the States. And it's it's easily not only the goriest and like most violent Lupin movie, but it's just super well animated and beautiful.
Was it like
dark.
Kurosawa classic blood spray shit?
Oh yeah,
that's fun.
Yeah, it's great stuff, and it also has a villain that's whose aesthetic I love.
Well, I think it speaks to how strong the lineup has been this season. That this is the weak link on the list.
You know what?
Yeah. Because, like, still, even with the double knife, nobody has that much bad to say about it. And I think that's...
If the worst thing you have to say is, that was good, I'm done. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Way to go, Lupin. Yeah.
No, I think for anybody that really enjoys and wants more of this show, you got to check this out. The season's really good. I just don't think it's what I'm looking for right now.
Yeah. And that's why I'm here to be like, hey, guys, this is good, Lupin. Continue. If you like Lupin, continue watching this. They might not. Mm-hmm. I am.
Yeah. And I have said multiple times, like, yeah, you know, I might go back and check it out. Here's the thing. I never actually do. It doesn't happen. But what I did check out was Hinamatsuri, episode 11, in which an intrepid journalist wants to do a hard-hitting expose on Yakuza centering around Nita, but Nita is way too nice. So the journalist uses editing trickery to make Nita look like a cynical badass. Everyone gives him crap about it. Then Hina goes to ski school while Nita babysits Anzu, and Nita likes Anzu better. But Hina is lost in the mountains. Cliffhanger! I love this episode so much.
It's hard not to laugh while you were just describing that first segment.
I love that they just end it with the full thing. Like, they just the full, because they go in and Nita's not given anything. It's, oh, he's just a regular ass dude. And okay, we got to cut and splice and make it look like he's the worst dude because I've got a family to feed, goddammit. Like, just the use of expressions continues to be one of the show's greatest points.
Let's just talk about the fact that as the episode was going on, it does a very good job of not leading you to believe that all of these scenes are going to add up to something at the end. They don't oversell any of the dialogue that's happening. It just feels like, nope, this is a continuation of the same joke we've had of, nope, he's just a regular guy. And it works because it all feels very organic. So when it starts to play out at the end and they start using all of his quotes out of context, I'm just here like, this is surreal.
It's pretty genius, honestly. It was really good.
Yep. And I love the way it wraps up, too, where for a hot second, I'm like, oh, and now his boss is going to get pissed and it's going to be a whole thing and he's going to have to. But just realizing, no, his boss was just giving him crap the whole time.
I love that they quote the fucking documentary word for word.
Yeah, everybody quoting it at him.
Nice to know you think I'm a real piece of shit. That's great.
And then he gets home and he's like, you know, aren't you going to do your homework? Massacre, dude.
Everybody busting his chops. All Nita all the time this episode. I loved it.
Yeah.
Nita was one of those characters I was a little bit worried about, but this episode really does a good job at defining, like, oh, hey, Nita's actually kind of a good guy. Like, he works for the Yakuza, but he cares, and the reason he's in there is like, no, you get a sense of duty and family. And I'm like, that's why you're in the Yakuza.
Yeah.
That's so weird.
It's up there with Kiryu as the the most huggable Yakuza man.
Yeah, right? No, they share a lot, but they... They do a really good job at characterizing him here. I feel like he's always been a really good character, and every time he showed up, I'm like, yes, whatever it is, whatever you and Hina are going to do, I will love it. Just do anything. And this, the back half, too, with him and Anzu, like, every time she shows up, I'm just like, you're just going to melt my heart. That's why you exist, damn it, you work.
As it turns out, Anzu is actually a pure cinnamon roll.
Yeah, and... I love him just trying to corrupt her and everything and being deflected all the time. It's like, no, I can't do this. And that imagery and like just how well that scene was animated with like, the fun is us hanging out together. Like, they put so much into her turning and saying that.
The
so,
bounciness.
Yeah,
the movement.
Like she's bouncing all the time. Every single flap is like individually drawn in just this one scene, which isn't uncharacteristic of the show, but all just so it could sell the pun, the visual gag of him dissolving and being taken out of hell.
Hell made of Hina.
Yeah, of Hina.
Yep. The reaching arms of Hina. Yeah. Dragon. Oh my God.
Yeah. No, I... This episode continued to just is itself. It's everything it needs, and I'm never ever bored with this. I'm always like, what do you got? You got something around the corner, you're hiding something.
Yep. Yeah, this I love this show even at its what I laughably call weakest. And this was the show in top form from front to back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Actually, me and my pregame friend were like, wow, this is a pinnacle Hinamatsuri. If they'd somehow managed the psychic powers in there, you would have literally had like, yep, this is the show.
Mm-hmm.
You know what the only bad part about this episode is?
Huh?
Guys, we've only got one more episode. And
I know.
I don't need you to tell me that. In fact, I want you to take it back, and we're going to act like it's not a thing.
Oh, I wish we could.
Oh, my God.
Eggplant.
Yeah.
Big
throbbing purple eggplant.
Oh, my God.
I'm happy that more and more people are slowly like, hey, Kieran, I started watching Hinamatsuri. I don't know why it took me so long, but holy shit. Yeah. If you are one of those people that hasn't, what are you doing?
I'm so glad Gon started watching it, too. Like, I've gotten people who are like, dude, fucking, I thought it was going to be Moe garbage, and I was wrong. And I'm like, yes, it is the farthest you can get away from Moe garbage, except for Anzu, but she's... God,
I think the arc and is for a reason. I wanted to kind of do this whole video about what her character arc is portraying about how she kind of earned this role that no one exists like that in general. You have to go through some shit to really be that way.
Yeah, it's very interesting to see because remember Wannabe Cinnamon Roll, that shitty like off brand cinnamon roll that we got from fucking Wodokoi?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, fuck that guy. This is pure.
Yeah, 100%. Absolutely.
My mom made these cinnamon rolls like from scratch. Nothing from a can. This is Anzu, baby. She's the best.
Yeah, she's great.
Ah, damn it.
I'm really happy with I never disliked her, but I'm so happy with what they've done with her.
Oh, when she showed up, I was like, okay, yeah, whatever. And then she became homeless, and I'm like, oh, this is the direction that we're going to go with Hinamatsuri. Mm. This girl's now homeless, living with actual hobos. Okay.
Yeah.
And then everything from there. And the best part is, a lot of the time, she's with other very sincere people. So we see a lot of like these jokes of like, oh my gosh, we have to take care of her. Or like, don't worry, it's going to be okay. With Nita, on the other hand, Nita he's not a scumbag, but he's also... He deals with a lot of shit. So when it comes to Anzu, he's like, no, you're fucking, this isn't right.
You're fake, you're bullshit. I'm going to get you out.
Yeah, it's like I'm going to tear the terrible person out of you. And nope, he can't do it. So we get to see a character who doesn't jive with her whole shtick bump up against her and then suddenly be dissolved by it.
He can't do it.
Oh, man. After what happened with other Yakuza dudes, Squinty, whatever his face is, also watching him get hit with a fucking ashtray. Thank you, Hinamatsuri. You made this. You made up the frustration I had from last week tenfold with this episode just by watching that asshole get hit with an ashtray. Thank you. Oh. Sorry, I can keep talking about this.
I don't, like, we need to move on at some point.
Yeah.
I don't really have much more to say, but it's just so goddamn good.
Kieran, any last words on Hinamatsuri?
It's really good.
Yep.
It's a very good show. I'm really happy like with what they did with Anzu being homeless and learning to appreciate shit. I think I find that relatable because I grew up in poverty for like the first 15 years of my life. So I'm like, yeah, that taught me to appreciate anything. Like, oh, I got food on the table. That's good.
I grew up the first 17 years of my life middle class.
Mm-hmm.
Like I wanted for nothing. Then I moved out and started working a night job at a warehouse.
Mm-hmm.
Those 2 years taught me more than I had learned in 17 years of my life.
Yeah.
And it was a very good experience. And that's why, you know, I don't wish hardship on anybody. I don't wish any, like, I don't want people to suffer. But let me tell you, when people say, hey, it's okay, it builds character, sometimes it really does.
Oh, no, yeah. I wouldn't change anything about how I grew up, because I think it honestly colored a lot of how I am now in a better way. And I feel like this show went out of its way to show that, like, that kind of development, too. And I love that.
Yeah.
When you pull a thread out of a man's life, the whole tapestry can come unraveled. Star Trek, The Next Generation. In the meantime, speaking of space, let's talk about Legend of the Galactic Heroes, The New Thesis, Episode 10, President Baldburns plots to swing the balance of war back into the Empire's favor, but not too much. Commodore Falk plots to advance his career by committing the Alliance to a full-scale invasion of the Empire. Admiral Shithole wants the Alliance to lose with a minimum of casualties so they will be forced to consider peace. Reinhard plots to draw the Alliance's invasion deep into the Imperial territory, stretching out their supply lines before destroying them. Yodog, I heard you like plots, so I put plots in your plot, so you can plot while you plot.
Oh, wow.
This is another, like, lots of table setting, lots of people talking. That sounds like a criticism. I am eating this shit up with an ice cream scoop at this point.
Yeah, a lot of people in the comments, I've seen them. It's like, this show is dry and boring, and I'm like, look, if you think that Legend of the Galactic Heroes is dry and boring, that is fine.
Yeah.
Stop watching.
Yeah.
This isn't for you, and that's okay.
Yeah, it's not going to change next episode and make you love it. So don't make yourself suffer if you're not getting into this.
Yeah.
Yeah, if your brain's just a little too small, it's okay. It's fine. If you just can't handle, like, you know, more than five things happening and, like, politics and characters. It's cool. It's fine. You don't have to watch it.
I will say this. I'll be honest about this. I, for the longest time, was not into politics as a person because ultimately...
Oh, me too.
When it comes down to it, I don't... Like, and Stephen Colbert actually did a fantastic bit about this when Trump was elected.
Mm-hmm.
When a lot of people were growing up in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, they weren't so involved in politics. Politics was not something you discussed at the dinner table. It was not something that you discussed amongst friends, like out in the open very often, unless something very major was happening. Without going into too much detail, last 20 years, ever since maybe a day in September, politics became a really, really heavy subject for the American public, and it's only gotten more and more severe. So for me, it's something that I've gotten more into, especially being a gay man. You know, when Prop 8 was happening, I got heavy into politics. This is good politics. This is selfish people acting selfishly for their own shallow ideals without consideration of people, because politicians are shit. They're just shitty people. Like, there are good ones out there, but they're often drowning in a bunch of bureaucracy because these people get into politics to make money and gain power most of the time. And to see this presented so starkly, so unabashedly, and so calculatingly by, you know, like, because we see these military people like, okay, but how do we handle this? What is the purpose of this battle? How are we supposed to, like... What is our purpose of taking this fight to them? And then you have Falk. Or Falk. I'm sorry. Commodore
yeah.
Falk. Commodore Falk comes in, and he starts giving fucking rhetoric.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, and I believe that this expedition of peace, you know, their people open up their arms to us. I'm expecting him to say mission accomplished before he leaves that fucking meeting.
Hearts and minds.
hearts and minds.
Yeah.
And the fact that, like, when he flat out, like, steamrolls Yang and like, you know, oh, you're just going to give the enemy what they want. And like one of the other, like one of his superiors is like, that is insulting. How dare you? Mm-hmm. And he's like, I don't see how that was insulting at all. Like, I think it's insulting for you to imply that that was insulting. And I'm like, I fucking know you.
Yeah.
I've met people like that all the fucking time. And I'm like, you don't want to win this fight. You want to win this conversation. Mm-hmm. You don't want to win this war. You want to secure your space. You don't care about the people. You're just in here for yourself. And it's slimy and it's terrible. And I fucking, yep.
And the short-sightedness is what's frustrating. Like, yeah, people are out for themselves. I've made peace with that. People want what's best for them. That's not a moral outrage. That's just life. Mm-hmm. But the fact that he can't see past the end of his nose, he can't see that this does not end with everybody hailing him as the triumphant hero. This ends with a fucking quagmire for everybody.
We're here to liberate the awful people enslaved by the Empire. They'll look at us as saviors. They'll give over all the states and everything. We're not going to have to fight and quell uprisings. It'll be fine.
Yup. Yup. Oh, that's exactly how it's going to go. Oh, by the way, so some people jumped on me last week for saying the American comment. I actually, we were in the middle of the conversation. I was talking more about World War One. Was it World War One or World War Two, where we ended up selling a lot of weapons and then things went really poorly.
Yeah, would you like to hand back the shovel or just keep going? Yeah.
Sorry. Well, the topic of conversation ended up coming up between me and Gavin during our pregame. And I was like, oh, yeah, we did talk about that. And I was going to bring it up some more, but now it's actually been 2 weeks since then. But, yeah, no, I wasn't talking about modern day because modern day, no, this is America. This is full on, like, flat out what the America, like, yeah, no, we're going to be in and be liberators.
That's right. We're here to we're here to deliver justice and be the good guys.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's fucking. Oh, and then yeah, Sitole like sitting down and like, yeah, no, this is a terrible idea. We really shouldn't be doing this. And now you know why I don't want you to why.
I loved him just getting that like heart to heart, just you and me.
Yeah.
I couldn't let you resign because you need to get people like him out of the military. Like, yeah. That's
and that,
cool.
And that straight talk too. Like, yeah, we need to lose. We need to lose as quickly and bloodlessly as possible so we can get out of this. Like, oh man, I hope nobody was listening to that.
Yeah.
Because that is straight treason, but it's also not wrong.
Yeah.
And then almost, I think it was almost immediately following that scene, we go over to fucking Reinhardt and he's like, so, plan is, we're going to actually get them in as deep as they can, and then we're going to fuck them
over. Yeah, we're just going to murder all of them.
Yeah, and it's for two opposing sides to see the same reality so clearly, the exact same thing that Yang and the handful of other right-thinking brass on the Alliance side are afraid is going to happen. Reinhardt's over here like, yep, this is what's going to happen, and it's going to be great.
Yeah.
Yep, because in it, one of the beautiful things that Legend of the Galactic Heroes is doing very subtly is showing you the brilliance of both these of Reinhardt and Yang. They see the same reality and they're like, this is a bad idea. And now they're like, and if the Alliance hadn't pushed this, they could have brokered for something, but nope, it's gonna be a massacre and it's sad. I won't lie to you. I'm like, oh great, we're gonna see a lot of people die soon.
Yeah.
And I'm not, and this isn't Gundam. This isn't like some like fantasy sci-fi show where I'm like, oh yeah, let's get into that big space battle. I'm over here like, oh yeah, a lot of people are about to die. That's actually kind of terrifying.
Yeah, and having seen enough of these characters, you know, we've complained in the past that there's not a whole lot of emotional stakes. Maybe just having been on this show's wavelength for long enough, it's subtle, but in this episode, when he's talking to Julian, Yang's hair's a little mussed up.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, he is feeling and he's questioning himself. Like, was Iserlohn too bloodless? If a couple thousand people had died?
Yeah, maybe they would go, okay, and we're done.
Yeah, like, did I fuck this up? Is this my fault?
Yeah.
Am I too good at this?
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, that was a very, like, how do you put it? Unnerving moment. You're right. When Yang is like, God, maybe we should have killed a bunch of people. Maybe it would have satisfied our appetite for blood. And I'm like, you know, that is why all those people in the Alliance are like, get them out of there. Because like, yeah, we gained a victory. Yeah, but did you do damage to them? No, we got peace. Yeah, but that didn't send a message. And it's like, Okay.
And I think what I like the most about this show and its... honestly, just how it handles its topics is how real it is. Like, this is... It's honestly a timeless thing because yep. it is human nature for that stuff. Like what he's mentioning, like the effect of war or a victory is like a narcotic. People will just want more of it. And if we didn't have some kind of penalty, they will keep seeking that you know, that gain, that high that you get from that victory. And it's just really interesting seeing him talk about like history and psychology and clearly well researched about like just generalities of war and stuff. I really like it.
Yeah. It's, I can see, I like, as I said last week, I can see why Legends of the Galactic Heroes became such a hallmark of anime sci-fi fans.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it took me a while, but just seeing the actual writing that's gone into all of this, it's impressive. It could have easily been rote and, like, because some space operas can be like that. They can mm-hmm. paint with broad strokes and then... You know, like, oh, the details will fill themselves in, and sometimes they don't connect very well here.
Yeah, this is George R. R. Martin level of, okay, Aragorn takes the throne of Gondor, what's next? How does he handle the prisoners of war?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
We got all these Easterlings over here, what's he going to do about them? What's his economic policy?
Yeah, exactly.
The George R. R. Martin comparison is not... not a bad one. I mean, it's not, obviously not... It's missing some of its... darker.
Well, I don't know. It might get to it. We'll see.
Yeah, maybe. Who knows?
But yeah, whereas I think a lot of sci-fi and high fantasy stuff likes to paint with the fascination of technology and all this stuff, this one is much more grounded in the practicality and ever-persistent nature of people and conflict and war and mind games. And I think this could have been set in, you know, in the Middle Ages and would be just as interesting.
You've also got the Fezzan. Is it the Fezzan Empire?
Fezzan.
Yeah.
And oh, dude, that guy is maybe the scummiest dude in this entire show, and it's so interesting to watch
but
him.
You
and
know he exists and is a real person.
Oh yeah. Oh, 100%.
I think that's what I like about it.
And I love the idea of the Fezzan Empire becoming the main antagonist at some point. So it's great. I'm digging it.
Yeah. I'm gonna hold up this eggplant.
It's. I'm happy you guys see what I see. I'm happy you got there. It is a slow burn. For anybody that hasn't watched it yet, it is a slow burn. But if you like shows that really delve into some hard shit, I think you'll like this.
And if you are watching this along with us and not digging it, get out.
Yeah, get out now.
Yeah. You don't have to watch.
It's fine.
I was just making a little goof, and then Scott got like all impassioned about politics and stuff, but it's fine.
Well, you know, but you know, for politics, it does color. Like the better understanding you have of people.
Oh, absolutely.
The more interesting this show becomes mm-hmm. because you can understand the machinations of people and the process of politics. So that's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
But if that's not your thing, that's fine. And that's not an insult either. It's just, you know, it's not something, if it's not for you, go watch, I don't know, Golden Kamuy?
Yeah.
Golden Kamuy.
Good one.
Episode 10. We got the two renegades pursue sideburns through the woods when Lieutenant Crazy Face's forces attack. Twin Boy loses both ears before being brought back into Lieutenant Crazy Face's fold, and Sniper Boy and Sideburns escape. Meanwhile, Sugimoto's group meets Uncle Earrings, a friend of Usurpa's father, who claims that Usurpa's father is actually Noporabu, the murderer who stole the Ainu's gold.
Le gasp.
Uh-huh. That was what a bombshell.
Yeah.
I kind of saw that coming. But
I wasn't sure about Dad. I saw Uncle.
I thought they were, yeah, I could see like them having some relation, but direct father.
Direct father?
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, this episode had whole bunch of different plots going on. And
yeah.
It seems like we're kind of setting up for the next big thing. And is this only 12 or 24?
It is only 12.
Then, yeah, wow.
Yeah, we got two more episodes of this.
That's impossible.
Well, I'm wondering, because now they've sort of shifted gears. It's always been, let's collect the tattoos. Now it's, well, now we got to go talk. We got to go break into this prison. We got to go talk to Noporabu.
Mm.
I'm wondering if that's not like a pivot to get this wrapped up in the time they have.
I hope it isn't. The manga's still going, right?
I don't know if the manga is still going, but I do know that it is long.
Yeah. It is not about to be wrapped up in two episodes.
Yeah, gosh.
No, and I have not had, I'll just go ahead and say, I have not had my fill with what this show is giving. I think this is a very, I say it every time, but man, it's like Tarantino made this. Like with every crazy thing going on, everybody's dialed to 11 in just the right way, that they're not overbearing.
So I just realized this is still going on as a manga.
Oh, man.
Yeah, we're about to get a non-ending. I think Golden Kamuy just became a fucking advertisement for its manga, which congratulations. I'm going to read the manga.
Yeah, congrats. Yeah. You did your job and yeah. I'm okay with it.
I think that's what it always was.
Yeah, and it's cuz this show is so unique in the way it portrays this time period. I feel like it's hard to find anime that is this historically interesting about this kind of stuff, as well as being entertaining and insane. Like, it is balancing both realism and dynamism of these cartoonish characters in a really unique way that I really appreciate.
Can we talk about the mermaid?
Right?
The buildup for that joke is so good.
That was fantastic.
Because it's this one-off conversation that they're having, which, of course, a serpent wouldn't know about mermaids. That's cool. Yeah, I totally buy that. She's unfamiliar with this folklore. So as they're talking about it, I'm like, okay, this is dialogue while the scene is moving on. And then the payoff with the giant fish,
Oh, hey, a mermaid.
I wrote down in my notes, wow, that is a Goku-sized fish.
Yeah, it was... We get to see a new Ainu character who may or may not be trustworthy. We'll see, and he seems pretty interesting. I liked the tension between him and Sugimoto. You can already tell, so I'm curious to see where that's gonna go. I love Tsurumi. He's crazy. He's nuts.
Tsurumi. Oh, you mean
crazy face?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Tsurumi. Oh my, okay, so yeah, we gotta talk about I wish I could remember Eyebrow's name.
I can't remember.
Okay, we're gonna call him.
Don't look at me.
We're gonna call him Eyebrows, dude, who basically defected from the Seventh, was it?
Yeah, defected from the Seventh.
Yeah, being hunted down by the twin dude and the guy who's voiced by Albert from Lupin.
Yeah. Our sniper friend.
Yeah, sniper friend. That whole segment's so good.
That was great.
Because I love how he's like, they don't know that I have a gun. And so, yeah. You know, he starts a fire, grabs the deer, and they think, okay, so he set up a fire down there and he got the deer. And they go over there and he's like, wait a second, how did he get a deer? And then in that one moment, CGI bear! And I'm like... fucking chunk of chunk out of him, ear goes flying. I'm like, well, he's dead. Well, yeah, he doesn't die, but it's a great scene where he's pinned down on the ground and the bear's got him by the collarbone. And he's like, And you can just see the machinations inside the fucking sniper's head. And it's like,
yeah, I thought he was going to leave him to die.
I thought so too. And he's like, if I shoot, he'll give a smoke trail and then I'll see where I am. And then I'm wide open. He could just die. Ah, fine.
Yeah. The fact that he does take the shot, then he's like, okay, but now what are you gonna do, dude? You don't have a
bam
right in the and right. So I forget, did something block that shot?
Binoculars.
Oh, the binoculars. Oh, okay. Right.
The binoculars where he looked down. And he looked down. The binoculars had a big gash in them.
I missed that too. That whole scene was just going a mile a minute.
So that whole. The whole way that scene goes down is just this twist, turn, ear.
And just that's one I watch with my girlfriend, and she can't handle the gore welch. She's like, just tell me when it's over.
Oh,
like,
no.
Don't worry, he's cutting it off. No, don't worry, he's cutting it off. It's about to be fine. Oh, somebody's going to lose a nose. Just don't worry about it.
Yeah, you talk about tension. I'm sitting there please don't. No.
When he takes off the other ear, I was just like, oh, we're really going to show this happening. Okay, bye.
And even when, the one guy shows up, he has this, one young, bright-faced dude shows up to eyebrows and it's like, oh, hey, it's you. Lieutenant's looking for you. We knew that, like, the other guys were crazy, so you can come back with us. I was like, wow, they're really good at defining, like, these characters. Like, even they all, like, kind of, none of them have same face. And as soon as I said that, bullet through the head. I was like, oh, my God.
Yep.
This, it just keeps going one after the other throughout this whole, like, first half of the episode. I love it.
Does anybody trust New Hotness, Mr. I New Dude who shows up?
No, absolutely not.
Yeah, he's, I don't know. I don't, and again, like, as episode 10 of 12, it feels like real late in the day to be introducing new characters. And did either of you watch the next episode preview?
I didn't, actually.
Apparently we're going to a ghost hotel.
I'm fucking sorry.
Yeah.
Okay, sure.
Hotel for ghosts.
Sure.
Or something.
Yeah.
With like a real creepy looking innkeeper lady.
Okay.
Like femme fatale looking, Black Widow looking, I don't even know. So that's, yeah, I'm looking at this like, wow, this is going to be the second to last episode? What it, I mean, we'll see. Look, it's not like I'm knifing it. I'm in this to the end.
Yeah, I mean, look, this episode is, again, just way up there. In fact, by and large, besides the CG fire and CG bear just being the CG fire and CG bear, I don't have a lot of bad things at all to say about this episode. It has all the great character moments I look for in all of these characters. We even get another cooking scene. God damn it. I love that.
This show has like these pillars of things that it establishes its identity on, and the how well it spins all of those plates effectively continues to blow my mind between the characters that are so defined and so crazy, practical history, cooking, and this crazy heist, like treasure hunt thing going on, all these factions, and it juggles them so well. I continue to be blown away every time.
Oh, man. Switching to the manga is going to be kind of difficult, if only because I love the editor for Sugimoto so much.
Oh, he's so... I love all of them, man.
Oh, yeah. Everyone's good.
All the cast.
Oh, my God. Tsurumi's voice actor is...
Yeah.
He's crazy.
Oh,
man.
I'm curious to see, because I haven't looked at anything. I'm curious to see what the art in the manga is like, because visually, this show has been as much defined by its rough edges as anything else.
Mm-hmm.
It's just more detailed.
Yeah.
That's by and large, it's more detailed. Also, again, they did it better later, but the expressions early on were a bit wackier in the manga.
The anime
did, like, I said someone that were like, no, what, no, keep, that's, it's charm, you have to keep the charm, and I'm like.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and I'm glad they did, because.
Yeah, I like them.
Yeah, that's, when the anime is visually appealing, half of the time that's why, because it is going so wacky with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Speaking of wacky fun times, times for everybody.
yeah, real fun.
Yep, just big old smile on everybody's faces all the time. Guys, it's time to talk about Megalobox. Episode 11. Fujimaki keeps Pops with him as insurance. Joe enters the ring against Burroughs wearing some junky old gear. Just as Joe is supposed to take a dive, Sachio, Yuri, and even Pops tell him to get up and kick some ass. Joe sheds his crappy gear and defeats Burroughs, and Pops, spoilers by the way, if you're not watching the show, what the fuck are you doing? Go away and watch it. Pops cuts out his own fucking eye with a butter knife to satisfy Fujimaki. Holy shit! Fuck! What just...
That skyrocketed this for me.
Wait, how did you skip over the most important part of this episode? Sachio breaks out into a rap.
Yeah, the Sachio rap number. That was like, hot damn, this kid's going.
Who the fuck in the script? Who wrote the screenplay? It was like, and during this scene, Sachio is going to, as he looks down the steps, he's going to start rapping.
Yep, and whoever did the translation did a bang up job too.
Yeah,
it even
yeah.
rhymed. You do not see that a whole lot in translations of Japanese lyrics, because that's. I mean, it's already tough to get the sense of what they're saying within the time that you have and yada, yada, yada. But no, we're going to make it rhyme, too, because that's what it's all about.
Yeah, that's the point.
Yeah,
and it's part of the show's identity. Because we've seen multiple kids rapping throughout, like way early on, back in like episode, I think, 2 and 4. Now Sachio busts it out. I'm like, hell yeah.
Yeah. Man, this whole episode is, from start to finish, a like just a roller coaster because when, okay, I want to talk about one of my favorite moments with Joe in this whole show now. It's when he's talking to Sachio. It's that flashback that Sachio has to talking to Joe.
Oh, yeah.
Asks, hey, what do you do when you get scared? And I mean, not just scared, but so scared you can't even move. Mm-hmm. And Joe tells him, I reach out and I touch something that's real. And I'm like, an actual moment with Joe where he gets like that last episode where we got that scene with Yuri and this scene with Joe, just a little bit more humanization and getting his thought process down was so good. And I'm glad we got that. And it's such a great moment because you see Joe touching the wall as he's walking because he is scared. He's scared of what his future is going to be. He's scared that he's about to throw himself away. It's why he puts the gear on in the first place. He's like, I'm not going to go in there and I'm not going to fight that's not me.
Yeah, and I'm going to put this mask on and I'm going to be fake and let everyone know it's fake. And Yuri sees right through it, all these people. Oh, it's so good.
And can we just talk about the gear falling apart during the fight?
Yeah.
Like, I knew it was going to happen, but I also really wanted it to happen.
And that's this show is, I know what's going to happen, but I want to see it.
Yeah, other than the thing with the eye, you pretty much called everything that happened in this episode, and I 100% agreed with you, and even knowing beat for beat what was going to happen, none of that detracted
from
it.
No, not at all.
It was all in the execution, and it pulled it off just, oh, I love this freaking show!
Well, I wouldn't call it perfect.
Because
that's in the eye of the beholder.
Well, it is. It's objectively perfect.
Yeah.
And if you think it's otherwise, you might be wrong.
Yeah, you might be wrong, though.
You might be more blind than Pops is by the end of this episode, sir.
There we go.
Yeah, there you go. this show, it's not in the intricacies of anything. It's not in anything like surprise. I mean, the Pops blinding himself was cool. I wasn't particularly expecting that. That was a fun thing.
I thought he was just going to be like, okay, kill me.
Yeah.
But no, this, I don't know how I feel about this, if it's better or worse than him dying, but it is also like, holy shit.
No, wow. With what Fujimaki says is the man who wanted to see him the most in the ring can't anymore. I think that's more than enough.
Why is anime John Hamm so mean? Who hurt you?
And I love how they foreshadow it. Like, in retrospect, I see it because he's just playing with the eyeball on the fish the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, oh, that's so good.
Yeah, that didn't occur to me until, like, after I'd seen the episode. Mm. And I was talking with Gavin, and he's like, yeah, the whole eye thing. I'm like, with the fish! With the fish! Jesus!
Yeah. He's just so like, I'm just going to cook your ass up. You're going to be food. If you don't do this, I've got you right here. Oh, okay. All right, the eyeball.
Yeah. Because it was interesting because he even says back, like, and I'm glad it tied back to that. Like, yeah, so you want to make this up to me? How about your other eye?
Mm-hmm, yeah, because he said that early on.
Yeah, and so when he did it, I'm like, oh, yeah, he did give him that offer, didn't he? Well.
And this is what I love about a show, is real consequences happening to people. I love that. Permanent things that, like, that hit those kaiji notes that I love so much. He is now blind. Awesome.
Yeah. And just, God, what a badass moment when Joe and Sachio bust in and he's standing there like beating his chest like, and if this isn't enough, I will cut the heart out of my chest. What a line. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yep.
No, all the deliveries in this episode, the sound, again, the soundtrack, it's the best.
Yeah.
It's so good.
And I'm going to say, I'm glad I realized that this show has boxing as its main element, but if you concern yourself too much with the boxing, you lose out on what this story is about. Because for me, the fight with what was his name? Glenn Burrows was the least interesting part in terms of the actual fight. The story beats that it hits are the things that enraptured me over the last couple of episodes, and here is no different.
It's the people. It's the players.
Yeah.
Which I think a lot of other shows do emphasize the game. This is all about the people in it. And I think that's just really cool.
Yeah. And once I grabbed more onto that, I kind of want to rewatch this show now and focus more on that. Because I was expecting kind of like this high, great choreography, big action show. And what I ended up getting, which it is not a disappointment, just something I think I might have tricked myself in a little, like the first time through, is no, this is all about the stories of these people. And I'm really glad that it got as interesting and emotionally investing. You know what I mean.
It's a character drama. That's what the show is. And it just happens to have the theme of boxing.
Although it's helped tremendously, because this story all by itself could be kind of ho-hum, if not for great visual storytelling in terms of its designs, the actual, like, the music, like, everything with the aesthetic is just raising this up to, like, a modern classic.
It's a small thing, but I love these fucking professional wrestling-ass intros that we're getting.
Oh, I know!
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Gearless Naked Boy Joe! Like,
I don't think we've heard Naked Boy before, but I'm all about that name. That fits Joe to a T.
Yeah, because then when he sheds the gear, I'm like, oh my God, he's so hot.
Yup. There was a part of me that was wondering if he was going to go in there and then, like, throw it out of the ring. Like, this is his entrance. He's like, I don't fucking need this. But the fact that he starts the fight and it breaks down along the way. Yeah. But you know what doesn't break? His goddamn body. He's stronger than that gear. He's stronger than Glenn Burroughs. And now he's going to go fight Yuri and maybe die.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. They don't seem to be foreshadowing anything death related as far as I can tell. Not sure at all. Picking that up from, but.
Yeah, no, this, however this ends, I'm sure I will love it, so call me biased, but hot damn, this, I don't care, this show is great, it has its identity, it is so rough, it is the Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1-4 of anime, you know exactly what you're getting, and it's just fun, it's great.
I could have seen, it's kind of interesting because I could have seen this be a movie. Like, this could have made a fantastic movie. Not that I would have preferred it that way, but I could have totally seen this be, like, a good hour, 40 hour, 50 minute movie.
I could see that.
About, like, and centered more around the main story that we've gotten. We probably would have lost some of the stuff with Yukiko and Yuri, though. And I love them too much, so...
Yeah, wouldn't have gotten the subplot with Soldier Boy.
Oh yeah, that
yeah
we,
probably
yeah,
not,
we probably
which was
lost
really
that.
Good.
Yeah,
yeah, that was and yeah, that's kind of key to
Nanbu.
Yeah. Nanbu's character.
That kind of is what pushed him to make him my favorite, and then this reinforcing it.
Oh yeah, Nanbu. It's amazing. Nanbu stole the main character like out from under Joey. He's like, no, I'm actually the main character, and you're just driving this plot.
I did not expect to love who I thought was a slime ball in episode one.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And that's awesome.
And like, and I'm really glad. I don't know what else to say other than thank you, Megalobox, for proving me wrong. I'm happy about that. I'm more than happy to be proven wrong by a show. People sometimes think I'm always right or something. No, sometimes I can kind of jump on something a little too quickly, and I'm busy. I don't always have time to sit through and wait. But when something proves me wrong, I'm more than happy to say, like, you know what? I think I gave this the wrong shake, and I'm glad that it's doing it for me now.
It has its identity. It knows what it is, and if you understand that, I think you will thoroughly enjoy the ride.
Yeah.
Do you like things that are good? that's really what you have to ask yourself.
Yeah.
On the other hand, if you like things that are good but wind up just getting a little, you know, you've had enough of the thing that's good,
yes,
then you might suddenly realize, guys, Lupin the Third is cut off the list.
Huh.
You can still watch it.
Yep.
Doesn't stop you. I've been watching Tiramisu still. I'll talk about that when the season's over. I'm still watching it.
Well, to Lupin I say adieu.
Yep, like Fuji Cakes, walking out the night, the morning after.
Yep.
Leave the little lipstick on the pillow.
By the way, man, the closing still, though.
It's really good.
It's real good.
Yeah,
I mean, we've talked at great lengths about how good that closing
awesome.
Is. I'm going to have to, man. Well, it's sad, but I'm probably going to still watch it.
Yeah, watch it. Nothing's stopping you. I still watched Comet Girls for a bit. I'm a little behind, but I got to watch more of it.
I heard
good things. Go ahead, Tyler.
I heard good things.
It's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
I never fell off, man. I'm in.
I heard a lot of people saying, they killed off Wotakoi right before it gets, you know, that next episode gets really good. And I'm like, yeah, but would it have changed Kieran's mind? Then who cares?
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, I think I might end up doing this for Lupin as well. I might actually wait for more of it to come out.
What I want to do is I want to wait, like, that whole Goemon arc, because I'll just watch that in an afternoon. I'll watch the whole freaking thing.
Well, yeah, they're just movies.
Yeah, that's
they
are.
They're just Lupin movie plots made into episode arcs, which is, with as well good-looking and sounding as they are, I'm totally fine with.
Yeah.
So, but at that to that extent, there is this part of me that is like, I've got a billion other things I need to watch right now and do. Do I really want to try, like, carving, it's weird, carving out, like, a space to watch a bunch of stuff is actually kind of more difficult to then put down whatever you're doing, watch something else, and then switch back to what you were doing.
Yeah, it's why I've been marathoning my whole watch list on Sundays, even if I don't have to.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Turns out to be the way that works for me.
No, and I think that's what essentially gets to straws and camels here is just at this juncture when we have four bangers going on and one that I'm kind of cold on, that's where I'll start making those cuts because they're just, these are making so
those,
good.
Making those cuts because...
Yeah.
We'll see you next week.
Later.